Okay.
Oh, so you
was that?
You got it.
You're not so far. Baruch Hashem. Montreal, back of the room. Yeah, that's right. You see right over here.
It's been banished.
Tastes. So from Canada, you have to still get used to the large crowds. If your parents would see you now, such a large crowd, they get nervous. That's right. Okay. So you had a lot of divyos errors already, but it's hard to start without just to dive in. We have to wait for Ari to come on. So, they have an abbreviated Elo this year because they've only come to the yeshiva so late in Elo. So it has to be a little more intense than most other Elos because we only have less than 2 weeks to do the Avoda of Elo. So I'd like to focus on some of the ideas that the Ali Shur that Revolvi has in terms of how he envisions Elo. So we'll discuss probably at least 3 Avodas of Elo on the Yizdaiti. One Avoda of Elo is our appreciation of the Malchus of the Rebbein Shalom. That was, I think, Yitzhak Blaser used to point that out, we'll discuss that. And then the obvious Avoda of Elo is Kabbalah and Shuva. But even before that, probably the most important aspect, or certainly the first entree into Elul is the gift of Hischatshus. So that we're all holding by Hischatshus now. Hischatshus, as Volbi points out, and Hischatshus in the Messer of Klal Yisrael is different than Hischatshus in the secular world. The concept of meeting up with something that's new and the energy of something new, that is part of the Tzelem Elokim. Tzelem Elokim craves something which is new. New is exciting. We know that because Kadosh Baruch Hu says Vayom Shemoya Tishma, and even this week's parsha, when the Torah says Ki Hayoyim Hemircha, so the Mefarshim say Hayoyim, so the Mefarshim say that Hey Teiruscha, Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah should be to us Ki Ilu Hayoyim Givaldu. So why does it have to be? What does it have to be? What's so gvaldic to say I got it today? Because Tzelem Elokim loves his chad, loves new, loves something that is fresh. There's always an energy which comes with chiddush. So that's the way Kadosh Baruch Hu made the Tzelem Elokim. We know that because that's how Adam and Rishon got into trouble, because he exercised the koyach hischatshus against the Kadosh Baruch Hu's kavanah, but that's what Adam Rishon was going for. So we know the koyach hachiddush, we know from our own experiences that when we've the aha moment, the discovery of something that we didn't figure out before, kavanah. There's a certain the ruchniistic moment when you're filled with the schachos. So the
maybe he's on mute.
That's right. So the but the chiddush, the Torah's chiddush of his chadshus is the Gemara in Sukkah says Vayom Shemoya Tishma. So Vayom Shemoya Tishma is a strange phrase. Vayom Tishma, Vayom Shemoya Tishma. So in Tanakh, whenever you have a double lashon, it means very much. Right, so if you'll very much hear, you'll hear very much. So Chazal explain, v'hoyam shemoya im tishma biyoshan tishma b'chodesh, shemoya biyoshan tishma b'chodesh. So the chiddush that the Torah has, that our Messer has, when it comes to chiddush, is that in the secular world we are mischadesh by unraveling the old. We are mischadish by taking down the old. Right? The greatest form of chiddush in the secular world is if I can destroy, unravel, if I can manipulate. The Torah's chiddush in hischadshus is to build on that there can be a sense of chiddush by looking at what you have in a deeper way, and the Torah's understanding that's the way Kadosh Baruch Hu wants hischadshus, right? And that is something that we do all the time. In other words, a person says, you know, I have a different way of looking at the pasuk from Chazal. You say, sorry, maybe in a halacha doesn't work at all. A person says, we learned the Ramban and the Ritva and the Rashi, I have a different way of understanding the Gemara than all the Rishonim. You say, sorry. I mean, we'll listen, understand, but it's not like it's going to make it any place. A person says, I understand the Ritva better. Right? I understand the Ritva in a way that's the Chiddush that's very important to us. So our training of Hischadshus is always Shemoya B'Yoshan. It's always if you dig deeper in that which is there. Right? That's why it's very hard to translate the word Chiddush into English. There isn't an English word for Chiddush. The best we can do is an insight. Because the concept of Chiddush is not, I have an entirely new idea. An entirely new idea, again, everything has to be evaluated and understood, but you'd be very skeptical. The guy says, I have a new idea which you won't find in the Rishonim, you won't find in the Psukim, you won't find any place. It's all right, listen to the guy, maybe I'm sure there's something of value, right? But a person says, I have a new way of learning Pshat in the Pasuk, I look at Rashi a different way, that's very, very dear to us. So that's why there is no, in English, you don't really have a good translation for Chiddush. The best you have is insight, because that means I have a deeper understanding of something. So when it comes to Ardi of Hischadshus, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity we don't have to reinvent ourselves, Baruch Hashem. Fakat, everybody here is in a very good place, Baruch Hashem, in terms of Ruchnius. You've worked on yourselves, everybody is coming here to learn, wants to learn better, wants to learn deeper. So the Hischadshus is not to blow apart who I am. Very, very rare. Very, very rare. Somebody has to be in a very, very, very bad place, we want to totally remake themselves, right? But the Hischadshus is to, just like the tools we use in Chiddush and learning is the same tools we use in introspection. It's to understand myself better. To understand myself deeper. I after another year of knowing myself, I know myself better. Right? And that comes in that that colors everything that we would do. So the Moshal, we have a goal. We want to be kind of a Basra. So we know ourselves much better how we're going to make the kingdom of Basra. We know ourselves much better than we started any previous Masechta. Right? With Pesachim did a better job than the year before. But we know better now how the balance of Bekiyas and Nevi'ah, and we know better now what questions we can live with, what questions we can't live with. So now it is to capitalize on how we know ourselves better and what tikkunim we have to fix up and how we can fix up tikkunim and what we can accomplish. So that's the first avoid of Elul. First avoid of Elul is the gift that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us to be able to say that is in the secular calendar is a totally unremarkable time now. End of August. No. It's not Memorial Day when you're taking out the barbecues. It's not July 4th. It's not January 1st. In the secular world, end of August, the best you get is Labor Day, academic year, right? But for us, it's a gift that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us to have time before Rosh Hashanah. So what's one of the avodas? Rosh Hashanah is going to be an entirely new year. It's an entirely new year in the Bria. So how do you prepare for an entirely new year? So you have to appreciate the Koyach HaChidosh, the Koyach of Hischadshus. And Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it Tzelem Elokim, that's one of the one of the unique, one of the chidushim of Chazal. Those who are learning Daf Yomi, so that there was a Gemara in the end of Sukkah. When the Gemara darshins, volume Shemaya Tishma, the Gemara darshins, I forget the exact lashon, but that Kadosh Baruch Hu has a chiddush that a full keli understands better than an empty keli. In other words, v'minig sheva olam, if you have an empty cup, you can put so much in it. If you have a full cup, what are you going to add? So that's in the natural world. But in the ruchniyistic world, a person has a full cup. A person has learned psachim very, very well. A person has learned bava basar b'kiyas. A person has learned how to unravel a tosfos. So now, you come with a full cup. So you can add so much more. That's one of the koyches of chiddush of ischachus. Okay. So let's get to work. So the first, what we'll try to do together today is we'll, Mirat Hashem, accomplish the first tosfos. And then in Yirtz Hashem, tomorrow, we'll accomplish the third Tosfos. And then in Yirtz Hashem, we'll skip to Beis Amid Beis through Gimel Amid Aleph. No, Gimel Amid Beis to Dalet Amid Aleph, because that's a sugi that will help us focus on the Yoni Tshuva. So it's so close. And then when we come back after Yom Tov, so then we'll start digging into the sugya of Hezekiah. All right? Good. So the top tosfos begins. You need to look inside, you're looking on top over here. Tosfos asks, Kula nezikin chada mesich tehi. Kidamrinan ba goizel kama uvera kama da beda zara. Right? Kula nezikin chada mesich. How did you learn pshat in that? What's kula nezikin? Okay, who had an alternate reading of kula nezikin? Yeah, why? Why does yours seem to be a stronger reading? Yeah, yeah. Although it would seem, with Ariel saying, got it right, Ariel? That it would seem from the Gemara and Bava Kama that it's the three Bavas. However, that's a detail. Kula nezikin chada mesichtihi. Kedamrinan ba goizel kama. Uvipere kama davay nezora. Viafilo lehabe chada mesichta. Tzorach lefarish loma nishnis mesichta zu acher Bava mitzia. And even again, va'afilu lo yave chada mesichta. Even if it wouldn't be one mesichta, you'd still have to explain why bava basra comes after bava mitzia. Right now, by saying tzorich lefarish, so since you've seen already the agdama of the shita mukubes is bava mitzia. So what is the context of Tosfos saying tzorich lefarish? What's the context of Teisa saying Tzorech Lefarish? Who's he disagreeing with? Go ahead.
The Ramban.
The Tashbeitz, right? In other words, the opening Shita Mekubes is above Metziah is Tzorech. V'loy nira sheit tzarech l'seis tam l'ze. Right, so Tosfos, we obviously see there's a machlekes amongst the Rishonim. Is this an important Tosfos altogether? Is it a valid observation? Do we have to worry about this? Right. So Tosfos says tzarech l'farish. We do have to explain. We do have to focus on Loma Nishnes Mesechta Zu Acher Bav Mitzia. It's a valid question, right? Whereas when you open up the Shita Mekubetzes in Bava Kama, in Bava Mitzia, so there The Tashbates dismisses it, the Ramban dismisses. Every so often you're going to have to ask a good kasha. But Bederach Klal, the Rebbe Yudan Dossi, when he organized the Mishnayos, it all depended on what was happening at that time. He didn't, the marshal of a person would look at the Seder Alimut of any yeshiva. So, would anybody ask, why are we learning Baba Basra after Pesachim? Why Pesachim after Chulin? Right? Even yeshivas that keep to the Mesichtas of the yeshivas. So they ask, well, why are we doing Ksuvas after Yevamos? Every so often, there'll be a Hezber. Last year we killed ourselves in Yevamos. We got a little bit of a break, right? The guys have had so much in the Zikins coming out of their ears, we got to do some Noshim or something. But you just always a negative reason, right? They're all saying why we can't continue learning. What we're learning, we need a break. Very rarely do you hear Rosh Yeshiva saying, look, we figured out, we really nailed down all, I don't know, Toyin Venitin, now we got it. It's very rare. So that's from Yidan Nasi, was apparently a similar Cheshbonos, the way that the Tashbait says. So Tashbait says, Tzorech Lefarish is a good kasha. So again, so now Kula Chanan Ezekin is a reason why we should work harder to figure out the Seder, or it's a reason that there shouldn't be, we need not worry about the Seder. Which way does it go? Kula Nezikin Chanan Mesichti. V'yafilu Loyave. Right? So what's Tashbait saying? If kula nizikin chadam mesichta, might be machlekes in the amayram. So then for sure you have to explain, right? So Taisus is kula nizikin chadam mesichta, so machlekes in Baba Kama. How do you view nizikin? Do you view nizikin as chadam mesichta? So when you say do you view it as chadam mesichta, what is the significance of that? It should flow, okay? So that means that kula, if you say chadam mesichta, so then you have to have a smicha. So then, if you say chadam mesichta, go ahead, Gottesman, what's your first name?
Benji,
go ahead.
In chadam mesichta, we know that there's seder l'mishnah.
That there will be seder, and legabe what? So legabe, it means you have to have a logical flow, correct? What else besides logical flow? What else? Right, that it will be relevant for the Seder of the Mishnah is important for how Rabbi Yudan Nosi wants us to paskin. All right, and that's based on the way that Rabbi Yudan Nosi taught the Mishnah or the way he compiled the Mishnah. This Tosfos is Mechanish Taz. That the two are not necessarily the same. That there are two ways to look at the Mishnayos, two storim. One is how did Rabbi Yudan Nosi teach, and the other is how did we know how he compiled the Mishnah. Now we have how Rabbi Yudan Nosi taught the Mishnah. So that's what the Rishonim are telling us. We have no clue. We know that Rabbi Yudan Nosi taught a mesichta by mesichta. He didn't cut out in the middle. He didn't do what we do. To learn 10-20 blot and go on the next mesichta, right? He was when he taught the mesichta, so he went from he organized the mishnayos the way that we have it, right? So that's the Tosfos says that michtei tanami makui solk maishno diktoni shvus v'chein bekam makoymes v'hoda omar betray mesichtas ein seder and mishnah into the inyan machleis achachstam mishum the Rebbe lo yishona l'talmidov ke seder am mesichtas, because Rebbe in Rebbe's yeshiva when Rebbe was teaching he didn't do all of Zeroyim and never doing all of Moyed. No, he had the different cheshbonos came up, different things. In fact, there's a Rashi in the end of Bava Metzia that says a Rebbe gets to choose what mesichta based on what he needs to work on. Right? Rebbe asks what he wants to figure out. When we never knew what the Rebbe was going to give Shiran Mamash to the day before the Zman. The Yeshiva had a set Seder. The Rebbe would do his own thing. And we never knew. Because before the Zman began, he made a decision based on what sugyas he wanted to be Malami. So he wanted to figure out better. The last minute in the of the summer, we would find out what the Masech is going to be. So this Tosfos says that Seder, there are two different ideas in Seder. One is the flow of ideas. There's another, and that's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's Seder Alimud. So we know Rabbi Yehuda Nasi learned the Masechta at a time. And the principle of Stam v'achar kach machlekes or machlekes v'achar Stam, that's how Rabbi Yehuda Nasi taught the Mishnah. Now what is the significance of Stam v'achar kach machlekes or vice versa? What's the issue? What's it pointing to? Why is that important? Whether this is a stam yachaka machlekes. How are you going to paskin, right? In other words, if you don't nasi, when he quoted a machlekes, he did not necessarily have a psak halach in mind. Sometimes he had a psak halach in mind. Sometimes he was leaving it for the Beis HaMedrash, for the next door. When Rabbi Yehuda Nasi made an opinion anonymous, so then Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was saying, this is the Psak Halacha, right? So there's very few important nekudas. Nekuda number one is that the Mishnah was compiled as a Sefer Psak. It was not just a record of the Shitas. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was giving us a code. And the way he codified is by when he made an opinion anonymous, that was an indication that was the consensus opinion. That's why he made it stam. Right? In other words, when you quote and you say Rav Moshe says, so what you're really saying is there are other poskim who disagree, and Rav Moshe says this position, right? But if you say halacha is, if you say kacha noyagim, or if you say this is what we always did, so you anonymize. But that's a word, a position. And by making it anonymous, then you're saying, this is what we hold. The Rav Chanan Wasserman writes at the very end of Baba Basra, and he Tov Reish Lamed Vav, it's a long piece, but in the middle he writes that when Rav Yehuda Nasi made an opinion anonymous, so then he was saying, this was the Haskama, this was the consensus. I don't have to tell you, Rav Yehuda, because that's not important. What's important is that this was the consensus of the Chachamim. And by being the consensus, it became the halacha. Now, if Yehuda Nasi would write a stam, and then five Mishnah said he writes the machloikas, so that means that Yehuda Nasi did not want to codify the anonymous position. If it's a machloikas, v'achakach stam, okay, that's the rule. And then he wanted to give you information, and that's how we pass him. Right? If he first gave you the anonymous, it was for some reason, it made the Mishnah easier. Maybe that's where there was a rive at some point. Maybe that there was more Mishnah of that particular time, whatever it is. And then he shows you the machlekes, that means he's leaving it open. So this Taisha says that rule, in fact, the Gemara Makama is a question. The question is, if you give a piece of clothing to somebody to dye that piece of clothing, and they dye it with the wrong color, right? You gave him a shirt, and yes, he wanted to have a blue shirt, and they ended up giving you a pink shirt, right? So what's the din? So it's machlokes tanoim. There's a guy on Mazik because I had a white shirt. I can do anything with a white shirt. I didn't want a pink shirt. So now by giving me back a pink shirt, he was Mazik, my shirt. So he owes me money. Or do we say, no, he's not Mazik. He gave you a shirt of greater value because some people want pink shirts. So now he didn't give you what you wanted. Maybe he did. For all you know, pink shirts may be more expensive than blue shirts. So he's not a mazik. He improved your property. It's just not what you want. But he may have improved your asset. So I owe him. How much do I owe him? All right. Do I owe him labor? Do I owe him the value of the shirt now. That's the machlokes. So the machlokes of whether if I hire somebody and he messes up, do I say he's a mazik, he owes me, or do I say I have to evaluate whether how much I owe him? So that was the machlokes. That machlokes was a machlokes where about which the Gemara says that in Bava Kama, both opinions are quoted, and in Bava Metzia, the Gemara only quotes one opinion, the second, Yoni Al Tachtoina, he owes something, not Shamashel. So now the Gemara wants to know, Rabbi Yudha Nasi, you're recisive in Bava Kama. Does that mean that's the position? That the guy is a mazik, that the guy is Yoni Al Tachtoina? Now again, in Bava Kama, he had the machloikis. In Bava Metzia, he quoted Yodei Al Tachtona, that he's not a mazik. So now the Gemara says, is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi taking a position? Well, if the Gemara says, depends if you hold Stam V'Achakach Machloikis B'Shtei Mesichtas, it depends if you hold Kulachana Mesichta. The lot of Gemara has three possibilities. It's how do we pshat? Let's not focus on the shock of attire, but just on what the Gemara is pointing out. Gemara is pointing out if Rabbi Yehuda Nasi taught Bava Kamal Bava Metzia as one long zman. So when he began the zman, he said, "Now I'm teaching the sugya, and I'll discuss halacha later on in the zman." And that's the Seder of the Mishnayos. Or did Rabbi Yehuda Nasi say, I'm teaching Bava Kama, right? And Bava Kama, I stam. We finished Bava Kama and I didn't change the stam. That means I wanted to anonymize the position of Yod Heh Tachtoina. When I taught Bava Metzia, I'd already paskened already. So Bava Metzia, we were discussing the halacha, we were discussing the sugya. So the Gemara says that we have a principle that stam v'acher kach machlokes. Rabbi Yanasi is saying I don't go with the stam. Machlokes v'acher kach stam, I do go with the stam. So the Gemara says in Bava Kama, yesh seder l'mishnah l'chuli alma. Everybody holds in the seder. The only question is there a seder between mesichtas? Question is Nezikin Kulachana Mesichta? That's the only question. But the Mishnayos have a Seder. Legabe, what do they have a Seder? Legabe Rabbi Yanasi's teaching of the Mesichta. Legabe figuring out Rabbi Yanasi's position. Legabe the code, the psak. But only legabe that. Legabe the flow of ideas. Legabe, whether it's significant to have the two mitzvahs together, that's what our sugya is trying to figure out. This is what our Rishonim is trying to figure out. So again, come in one moment. Look inside. Kula nezikin chada mesichtehi. Teisva says that we take a position like the shita, the machlokes, but we take the position kula nezikin chada mesichte. All right. What does that mean? That means that at least when it comes to Bava Kama, Maziva Vasha, and maybe when it comes to Olive Nezikin, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi taught it in one fell swoop. What does that mean? That means the Gabe Nezikin, or the Gabe the Bavis, we're going to have a rule of Stam V'Achakach Machlekes. That'll be a very important paskening tool. Right? Kidarmina ba goizel kama and in avodah zara, it's the same machlokes. So if kula chada nezikin chada mesichta, so that means I certainly should explain why hashutfin comes after habayis v'aliyah. Why this mishnah follows? What's habayis v'aliyah? The last mishnah in Bava Metzia. The last mishnah is. What happens if, God forbid, a building collapses and Rachmana Litzlan, and no one who's heard Baruch Hashem, but they now have to divide up the material, the cinder blocks, they're going to rebuild again. So you have upstairs and downstairs, how do you divide it up? Or the very, very last sugya is you have neighbors who are on a cliff. You have a ravine in between two neighbors, top guy and the bottom guy. Right? So who owns the airspace in between? Right? In other words, if I grow things on the cliff, so that does that belong to the top guy or the bottom guy? That's the last sugya. Who owns the cliff space, the edge, so to speak? Right? Lamashal, Allah Lamaisa, Sai Sims. You want to sell advertising space on the cliff. Right? You own a, so who gets to rent out the space? So the top guy says, it's my space. I live at the top, this is all my ground. The bottom guy says, I could put as much garbage as I want in front of this cliff. So who owns that? That's the last sugya in Bava Metzia. Alright? So they didn't have advertising space in Mount Gemara, so they talked about plants. Who owns the plant space there? For us, the advertising space. So the so if you hold yesh, so kula chad nezikini, there must be a reason why Rabbi Nosi went from the discussion with the cliff to the question of two neighbors on the same level, who owns the but what are the rules of making mechitzah between the two? The afilu lo yave chad mesichta. And even if they're not chadam mesechta, still tzarech lefarish loma nishnis mehach mesechta zu achar bava mitziyah. Right? Now, that position, tzarech lefarish, is a machoikis, right? Because we know that the shita mekubetis began bava mitziyah saying, not such a good kasha. Don't get so excited about it. Convenience. Well, we don't know what determined it. So Taisus now has to prove that the kasha is a good kasha. So proof number one is because at the beginning of Shavuos, the Gemara says, what's Shavuos doing after Makkos? Shavuos belongs after Sanhedrin. Shavuos is a tool by which you bring to a court in order to prove your point. So Sanhedrin speaks about the different aspects of a court. Had the makeup of the court, the timing of the court, who are good Edom. So the next thing is a Shavua. So Gemara says, so why is Makkos in between Sanhedrin and Shavuos? So you see this, there is it's a valid question. And V'chein V'chama Mekoymos. The truth is, we only know of two places, Nozir and Sota, and Shavuos and Makkos. V'hoda Omar betray Mesichtas Ein Seder L'Mishnah. Now Tosfos says, but you're going to ask me a kasha. The other man, the Omar, Shita Mekubetis, is going to ask me, what do you mean there's a Seder? There's no Seder. It's a Beferish HaGemara. Ein Seder L'Mishnah. No. Ein Seder L'Mishnah Hainu L'Nyin Machleg HaChastam Mishum Direbi L'Shona Talmidah K'Seder Mesichtas U'bam Shona Achareinu K'Nem Rishayna. So this is all that Tosfos is preamble to explain, I have a good kasha. I want to know why Hashutvin comes after Habayis V'Aliyah.
With Bava Kama and Bava Metzia, we were saying that since it's all one Masechta, so maybe the order won't matter, and Rebbe was just planning out, like, you know, L'Chaleh or whatever.
No. If it's Kula Chana Masechta, then it is Zichr. Then it is certainly. It's important Shishu were to know. Zichr. That is certainly is that the Yesh Seder of the Mishnah. Right? Why? Because if it's one Mesichta, that means Rabbi Yehuda Nasi planned out, I have to teach my Bava Mitzi after Bava Kama because I'm going to discuss the sugya of a poyul who messes up in both places. And my Talmidim are going to be figuring out why did I discuss the Machlekes after the Stam, so I got to have to have a Seder. Right? However, do I have to have a Seder in terms of the flow of ideas? So that's what Tosfos is saying, that the two are not necessarily connected, right? So again, Tosfos begins, the Nakuda that Tosfos opens up with is, do I have a good kasha over here? Why does a shutzen come after a bais valiya? Is it a good kasha? You open up the shutzen kubeses above mitzvah, says it's not a good kasha. This should not be the first year. It is not, should not have prime space in the daf, top of the yomid. It's not a, this is not a good kasha. Right, skip it. And so Taisa says, this is his first year, first time being Talmidim, FDOCs, so in the base of Medrash in France, he's, I'm going to ask a kasha, and they're going to say, why is he wasting time with a kasha? He'll be out like the guy over there with that already. So he's going, I got to explain what's a good kasha. To loosen up a little bit, Rabbi Isai. You know. So he has to explain, it's a good kasha. Okay? So why is it a good kasha? So he says, well, first of all, because kula nizikin chada mesichta. Right? I'll tell me, not everybody holds the kula nizikin chada mesichta. Fine. But when we're figuring out shavuos and makas and zehedrin, the gemara sakasha. When we're figuring out nazir and soita, the gemara asakasha. All right. Now, how would the other position in Bava Metzia answer Tosfos to Rayas? Go ahead, Benji. But how would he answer? But he has two Gemaras with the Gemara as the Kasha. Go ahead, Ariel.
It's not Shaykh at all. So therefore, we asked.
If I would tell you there are 60 Mesichtos in Shas. And I found two places with the Gemara Kasha. Is it a Raya? Not a good Raya. No, Ephraim.
They're not related at all, so you would have no idea why they're not together.
Right, but say that you're saying it's correct. Just go back one step logically. Go ahead, Detroit. Alicia, go ahead. Then.
Those are like the Yotze, like those are the exceptions. Like we're talking.
If I was bringing a Raya, if I was giving a Shir, and I was saying this is a Gemara Kasha. Because of out of the 60 times when the Gemara could ask, they ask it twice. So you would say, is that a Raya? That's not a very good Raya. That's a fakarat. It's the exception that proves the rule. This is if this was a good kasha, we would have it at least 30, 40 times in Shas. But that's what Taisu says. Well, we can explain a little bit better. We'll call them the Tashbeitz the most. Tashbeitz the Ramban. So they respond to Taisa saying, no, those were two crazy Yetzim and Adayfim. There's no way to figure out. It's such a strange thing. In Bava Metzia, it's so strange. Why? Because you have Shnayim Oichazen. Two people are arguing over Metzia, and you haven't even learned Eilu Metzias yet. So that's a very strange thing to do. To have Eilu Metzias as a second parak, and your first parak is Shnayim Meichzen. Eilu Metzias first, you learn Hilchas Metzia, and then you learn an argument people are having over a Metzia. So in that case, whether you see that the Rabbeinu Nasi did a pretzel move, and he put his Shnayim, then you have to figure out there must be some Seder, right? Then you have in the middle of Noshim, so you have Bechlau. What's Nazir doing in the middle of Noshim? Sota belongs in Noshim, right? Sota, if you're going to put Nedarim and Nazir in Noshim, put Sota first. Nedarim squeaks into Noshim because there's a halacha that because the Torah, when the Torah teaches Nedarim, the Torah teaches Nedarim in the context of a woman who's making a neder. Alright? If you and I were organizing the Dharam, we would say maybe it belongs in Zeroyim, because that's where you give away stuff. That's where you do tztaka, right? Maybe Kodshim. Kodshim, I would put the Dharam in Kodshim, because every hektish is a neder, right? So to have the Dharam and Nazir in, so we understand it. It belongs there because the Torah, Parshas Matos, explains the Dharam is the Torah presents it in a notional context. But Sota belongs before that. Sota is core Noshim. So the Tashbates and the Ramban would say Tosi, bring your raya from those two cases. Those are, you'd say that there the Gemara is like Kasha. It just doesn't make any sense at all. Right? So Tosfos begins by saying, I have a Kasha. Tzorech lefarish. Right? Tzorech lefarish because Kula Chadan is Kula Nizik and Chadan is Sechta. Tzorech lefarish because the Gemara asked the question twice. Ah, you'll tell me it's not a good kasha because the Gemara says that betray mesichtes ain seder and mishnah going to one day. No. I'm talking about the compilation of the text. I'm not talking about the Rabbi Yonasi's shir. So ain seder la mishnah betray mesichtes. That is a rule legabe machleg echastam mishun de rebbe shun talmidav. So now he says, so now by the time he comes to the re, so Tais is now I've developed that my kasha is a good kasha. Now what's the teretz? Hainu taima, the koyahach pirkin. Even before he comes to Tais's kasha. So Tais justifies the kasha. Did this kasha bother anybody before Tais raised it? So you'll say, I didn't know about anything about Saliyah. Right, but once you hear that the last sugya in Bav Metzia is talking about who owns the cliff, or what happens if a double occupancy home falls apart, and the next sugya is about two people live side by side and they're building a wall between the two of each, and how significant should the wall be? So, did anybody lose sleep over that? What the Hemshech HaDvarim is? No, that shy?
No.
Why?
Because you're talking about property disputes at a certain
point. L'chayr, forget about the technical. Teishas talks about the technicality of the kasha. Is it a good kasha from a technical perspective? Put the technicality aside. Right? But from a substance, from the tochen, I thought it's gemaldik. Wouldn't Bami Bechlal? Bias Valiya is double occupancy, falls apart. So that's one issue between two neighbors. So now I have two neighbors next to each other, and they have issues. They have Hezekri issues. They have building fence issues. So hold on. So Taisviz, it must be a good kasha. But Taisviz says, and he would begin our shutvin. What's Taisus before he explained the kasha? What's Taisus gemal de geteretz? What's the answer over here?
Shutvus.
All right. So, and what's the apparently he's saying two people. I understand every. We had to discuss last night. Sort of imposed upon shutvas, right? You and I build a house together, so we now have entered into without signing a document of what's going to happen if this house falls apart. So we have a shutvas, right? I buy a piece of property on the top of the cliff. You bought the, but we never met each other. Now the Gemara says, but we have a partnership that is imposed upon us by virtue of the fact that I bought this house. I buy the top of the cliff, I have a partner in the side of the cliff. I buy the bottom of the cliff, I got a partner. So now the Gemara says, Ashutzvin Shirotu Lasais Mechitza. What's remarkable this time? What Taisus is pointing out to us? What's Taisus is, what's his Chiddush? Go ahead.
That it seemingly, even though at the beginning of the Mishnah says that Shirasa
right,
really they're Shutvin Balkarfa by being. So
how would you have written the Mishnah? If you were writing the Mishnah, how would you have begun the Mishnah? Hashcheinim. He would have Hashcheinim as Shirasa says Machitza Shutvin. If they're really Shutvin, if they really bought this property together, right? So then they have a partnership agreement. Then they negotiated it together. There's an understanding of what to do. This is not about shutzfin. This is about Shechinim. Mesichta Bava Basra opens up with Hilcha Shechinim. Second parak is, what are my obligations to clap for the guy next to me? How far apart do I have to dig my bore? What is what we call the zoning laws? How far apart can I put a... How close to the edge of the product can I put a tree? How close to the edge can I put my garage? But that's the second parak. The first parak is two neighbors. What's the degree? What are the halachas of privacy that's imposed upon two neighbors? Right? So Tosfos says, no. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi began the Masechta with Hashutfin because he wanted you to understand there's a flow of ideas over here. So let's go a little bit deeper over here. What would have happened if Rabbi Yehuda Nasi would have said Hashcheinim? We would have had the same kash of Tosfos, same teretz of Tosfos. What's Tosfos really explain to us over here? What's the chiddush of Tosfos? Well, if we wouldn't have this Tosfos, so would anybody lose any sleep at night? If we wouldn't have this Tosfos, and somebody would ask you, is there a flow between Baba Metzia and Baba Basra? So you'd either say, you don't know this, you don't have to worry about this one. Right? Or you would have said what Shai said. Flow idea, that's pretty simple. So Tosfos, in order to have a, Tosfos said, this is a remarkable chiddush over here, right? Tosfos was bothered by something. Right? Tosfos was bothered by the flow, and he said, and that's why, thus he says, Hashutfin. So why was Tosfos bothered by the flow of the chlal? Seems to be a very, very easy one. This seems to be one of the ones that should get a pass. So what was going on in Tosfos' mind? Go ahead, what's your name?
William.
William.
Kind of like what we mentioned, that it's not necessarily like a traditional shotgun, so if Tosfos would have said what he said, we would have been a bit confused as to what exactly that flow was and why he used the language of shotgun.
In fact, they go deeper. When you say not the kind of shutfin, is there any shutfin's bechlal?
Seemingly
not. No? L'chayra, Tosfos is saying, l'chayra, let's cut away the language for a moment. I have a topic, we're organizing two topics. One topic is, who owns the cliff between two neighbors? Alright? Who owns the material of a double agnifel? Okay. I have another conversation is, that it's called the requirements of privacy between two neighbors. What am I obligated to do in order to protect the privacy of a neighbor? They're part of the same shear? Are they part of the same course how we imagine law school? Right? One either belongs to what we call toin v'nitan, right? One belongs to disputes, right? I bought, you bought. I'm claiming the rights to the cliff, and you're claiming the rights to the cliff. And it has not been negotiated. So that's what we call toin v'nitan. It goes to the courts, right? Bav Metzia is heavily toin v'nitan. Bav Metzia is heavily, if you think of above Metzia, it's about arguments about Metzia, it's about Metzia, it's about all sorts of contractual issues. A shoymer, a shoyel, a soicher, that's above Metzia. A soicher, hire, employee, it's all contractual issues, right? They're two neighbors, and I want to know, and I'm upset that my neighbor hasn't built a wall yet. I want to build a wall. What are the provisions of privacy? How much of my property can I actually use? Because at what point is the usage of my property something that imposed on you? So how am I limited in the usage of my property? The Taisa says that's got nothing to do with the cliff case. The cliff case is two people have a dispute between them. The cliff case is two people who have something that they are both claiming ownership over. This is a case of what are my rights within my own property? How many people can I have living over here? So Tais, when you think about it, why do you go from the cliff case to the rights that I have in my own property? Again, it's not Rochi Kinmizuch Amar, it's not Soita Nozir. But Tais says that if you think deeply into what is being discussed over here, doesn't, in fact, go a step further. Taisus is saying that it would make much more sense to have Bava Basra before Bava Metziah. Because Bava Metziah is almost all about disputes. Well, before you do disputes, you discuss what are your rights. Right? You dispute your rights. Like the Kasha Metziah before Shnayim Marechazah. So before you do disputes, you say, what are my rights of my own property? What are my limitations? How do I have to protect your... Then, let's do disputes. I'll go a step deeper. Almost all of Bava Basra is about the Choshen Mishpat of Karkois. I'm not sure to say it in English. And I'm not sure if it's the civil law is the correct term, but it's the rules and regulations regarding property. Almost all of the end of Choshen Mishpat is about the inherited property, right? The third paragraph is how you prove ownership over property. So almost all of Bava Basra is karkois. And the beginning is the rights of usage of my property. So what's that? Why is that tucked at the end of the Babas? Property rights is so fundamental, it should be before Metziah. You happen to find something. Right? It should be before a dispute about a cliff. So l'chora, that's what Tosfos is getting at. Right? And the Tosfos is saying, if you have a look at Bamtiva Babasram, Tzorach Lefarish. You got to explain what the Seder is over here. And apparently what Tosfos is saying is, and this is a little bit more than we can go, a little bit deeper than we can go right now, but apparently what Tosfos is saying is that Rav Yuna Nasi has landed us with a very big chiddush over here. And that is neighbors have an imposed shutzvus upon them. That when then two people live next to each other, so ke'ilu, there's a contractual obligation between the two. That's a big chiddush. So therefore, Rabbi Nasi said, let's first talk about an obvious situation where two people who are next to each other have some kind of implicit understanding. It's called the cliff case. There's got to be something about the cliff, because both people have a right to that cliff. So that has to be contractual, has to be an imposed, the shutfas, the very nature of buying on top of it has created something over here. And nobody can claim, I'll be svara, that the cliff is my property rights. Right? Or each can claim property rights. So when it comes to the cliff case, we're saying, Raboisai, by the nature of the situation, there is an imposed upon shutfas. And now Rav Yudin Nasi is saying is, and I want you to understand, when it comes to Shechinim as well, there's a chiddush which the Torah is imposing upon over there, the Rabbanim, we haven't discussed that yet. And that is that Shechinim, neighbors, have implicit understandings, contracts between them. We call zoning law, township law. All right? Now we've jumped very far ahead of what we're able to discuss. We haven't discussed this right now. But we've gone to a Yisraelistic Nakuda over here, and that is when you have two neighbors are discussing something, so are they discussing implicit contracts, imposed upon contracts, understanding? Well, I have to figure it out. But you see what Rinosi is saying. Okay? Go ahead. Your name, sorry. Alicia?
Oh,
Elijah, right? Of course. Yeah. Okay. He was the Rebbe of Elisha, go ahead.
Yeah. So I think maybe I might misunderstand the case a little bit, but like how I read it was that they're both trying to build in a chaser in between the two properties. So they could be staying in, but at the same time they're also shooting on like a common ground.
No, First Rashi. Hashutfin. She yesh len chaser b'shutfis. Ubat ish neim suchen l'soichai. V'kol ha-chatzer v'shon ha-chomim lifnei abotim. V'roiv tashmishon b'chaser. Right? Because of the way you read the Mishnah, you understand why Rashi is explaining this over here. Rashi is explaining the chatzer is part, they bought homes, and these homes open up into a field. That's all part of that. Was all part of their... Right, so now you understand why Rashi, one of the famous of it, was a Rashi in Baltimore, Shmuel Yaakov Weinberg. So his Derech Haliman was, he would learn without Rashi. And then he would learn the Rashis. And the shir was, why did Rashi say what he said? So we have an example of that. Over here, what Rashi's pointing out to us is, I bought the house with a chaser in front. You bought your house with a chaser in the front. We are now shutfin in this chotzer. Are we shchenim? Are we shchenim? Why shutfin? Good, Simon?
Then why is it shiratzer?
The Gemara is the question. Okay. The such thing is, it's aim b'shir chaluka, but then that's the Gemara's question.
I guess it's similar. According to Rashi, it's not, they did it,
but shutfin. Oh, okay. Well, they entered into the Shechinim, and now we're saying that there's an imposed shutzpas. Ariel?
Why is the Cliff case a more obvious case of like shutzpas? And why start with the Matia case?
Oh, because there we both have full logical rights to the cliff.
And not the fields, but the wall?
No, not necessarily. Well, because we're living next to each other, why does that give us rights of a wall? I want a wall. I build my wall. Why should living next to each other create an obligation of a wall? The Gemara is going to discuss that not so, but logically, without anything at all, I buy. In fact, we know if you live in the suburbs, they're very often not allowed to build hedges or walls between neighbors. Front yards, backyards, also set of rules. So it's not always allowed. Right.
How would this answer the question of the Ramban
Tashbit? Oh, the Ramban's Kasha. So that we haven't, we're not going to get to today. Okay, so what do we accomplish today? So first of all, we pulled apart this Tosfos. And we nailed the Tosfos down. Why? Because you can now go through the Tosfos and understand every single line of what he's really saying. Right? What he's really saying, when he opens up by saying Tzorach Lafarish, he wants you to understand he's taking a position against other Rishonim, who would say, Ein Tzorach Lafarish. Right? So in order to, Tzorach Lafarish is, I have to build my case that I have a good cash over here. Okay? That's part one. I wanted to take this shir into that direction. Is what is the machloikis about whether this is a good kash or not? Then we'll discuss that tomorrow, Mr. Shem. In other words, the next step is that there's a machloikis between the Rishonim, it's a good kash or not. So what's that machloikis based on? What are they arguing about? Okay? So, but this Tosfos we did is that we explained what's the Tzarech Lefarish. The Tzarech Lefarish is based on either saying Kula Chana Besichta, or it's based on the fact that there are other examples. Alright? We explained how the other Rishonim will say, not impressed by the two other examples. And they'll explain that those two examples are so different and required, but this is the but other standard is that ain't Tzarech Lefarish. Then Tosfos says, then we have to explain that once Tosfos justified the question, so why was he bothered b'chol about the substance of the question? It seems like an easy one. Abayis v'liyah and the different rules of Shechina. So that's what Tosfos is pointing out, is that Rav Yehuda HaNasi, we're saying Ashutfin, already opened the Mesichta with the Ha'ora, because they're not Shutfin. They never intended to be Shutfin. They happened to, for various different reasons. And I even give you a better raya. I could be living in a place for 20 years, and then some new guy comes on the block and buys next to me, and we're Shutfin? We never met him. He wasn't even born when I bought this property. You're calling us Shutfin? Echateisa? I didn't negotiate with this guy. He's not part of my suburb landowners group or anything. We're Shechinim. So there's a Chiddush. Ha Shutfin. How they become Shutfin? That's what we have to discuss. That's going to be very much the one of the major issues in the Masechta. So, and Tosfos is pointing out to us that probably we dig deeper, we're going to find that there's an important concept in the Shutfin that's imposed upon in the Cliff case, and the Shutfin that's imposed upon by Big Shechin. But that's the Mahalach of Tosfos. All right? So what we didn't get to, which we'll get to tomorrow, is to, and I'll give you my request to the next sugya, is to understand, dig a little bit deeper between the Tosfos and the Teshbeis and the Ramban. Okay? Finish up tomorrow, Mr. Shah. 233 then.